So we were in the middle of the Medrash in this Mishlei Bir Hagra, Perek Vav, the first five psukim. And I was pointing out, and we were discussing the idea of Achrayis. And of course, everyone understands that when you take a job, you have to fulfill your job. I always point out the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Schirus makes two very critical points. And that, needless to say, applies to any kind of job, whether you're a shepherd, or you're a clerk in an office, or you are responsible for a tzibur. But there's a tremendous difference between the two. Number one, there's very rarely a precise job description for an oisik b'tzarchei tzibur. So whenever someone has the mantle of responsibility that we call a gadol, there is no precise definition. Again, we hark back to the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir that was just Nifter, and if somebody would ask him, what's your job description? So he would answer probably 24-7, I'm achroi for every aspect of the institution that has 6,000 plus talmidim. So what does that mean, Lamaisa? The answer is, it means that I have to treat each and every single one of the talmidim as my own child. As my own child. It means that I have to worry about a budget that keeps growing. It means that I have to keep the shalom bayis of all the rebbeim and Rosh Yeshiva and the different magidei shir, which is an unbelievable parsha b'fnei atzma, and was done with incredible success. It's a huge institution with many, many people, and they're big people. They're big talmidei chachamim, and they are prominent. And each one seems to have had his niche and his place, and there was an extraordinary shalom and halavai vaita. But that's part of the job description. Now the fundraising. Can you define the job description in the fundraising? You know, do you have to go to South America? Do you have to go to Panama? Do you have to? Now, where is the limit? You know, I always say, and it's kedai to repeat this, it says, Kol misha oisik b'tzarchei tzibur ba'amuna, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yishalim schara. So that we understand, because certainly he's not going to get it from a bus of a dump. And then it says an interesting thing, Now I have two very simple questions. The flow of is the flip side, the exact opposite order of Ashmona Esrei. In Shmona Esrei we say Slach Lanu before Rifa'enu. And here you say V'yir Po L'chol Gufam V'yislach L'chol Avon. That's question number one. Question number two, I think, is a very strong question, although maybe we would never think about it. But it's worth asking. There's never, to best of my knowledge at least, there's never a group that's singled out in our tefillos and whatever where we identify them as sinners specifically. You know, I mean, there's no such thing as may the Ribbono Shel Olam forgive all doctors. We don't have such a thing for the mistakes that they make or whatever. No, there's no such thing. We never identify a group. Or may the Ribbono Shel Olam forgive all Rabbonim. There's no tefillah like that. And why not? Because in that there's a condemnation. The Meicha Teisa. So we say Slach Lanu. Yeah, Slach Lanu is Klal Yisrael. No, needless to say, Klal Yisrael, it really means us anyhow. I'm talking about myself, but I always have to include Klal Yisrael. Needless to say, Ki Chotanu, it's a metzias, it's a fact of life. But to single out Oiskin B'Tzarchei Tzibur and say V'Yislach L'Chol Avonam, it's a little bit strange to me. I always felt that that's a very significant question. Why do we do that? I was thinking, first, that it says, Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher ya'aseh tov v'lo yechta. And one of the pirushim of that statement, of that pasuk, is that tzaddikim who are, you know, the ma'aseh with the Vilna Goyen and the Dubna Magid. The Vilna Goyen asked the Dubna Magid to give him musar. So he said, Rebbe, how can I give you? And he insisted, you must give me musar. So he says, you think it's a trick to sit sequestered in your Dalet Amos with the windows shuttered and you have nobody to deal with and there's a whole Vilna out there, you think it's a trick to be a tzaddik? Go out to Vilna and be a tzaddik.
So they say that the Vilna Gaon started to cry, and he said, I'm not a magician. Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher ya'aseh toiv. If somebody is oisek with others to do good, he has to end up saying a lashon hara, hearing a lashon hara, and missing somebody that he needed to help. He forgot about him. He took money when he wasn't supposed to. Rabbi Yeshizkal Zichrono Livracha used to run to his balabatim and try to give back the money that he was given, the few dollars that he was given for the base medrash. Maybe you needed more. Maybe you did it because you're embarrassed, so you gave. It's not poshut. Even taking money is not poshut. So, ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher ya'aseh toiv v'lo yechta. We're entitled to say the yislach kol chalavon. But then I thought, that doesn't answer the seder of what? The yirpo l'chol gufam v'yislach kol chalavonam. And I think there's a better teretz. There's one aveira that every serious oisik b'tzorchei tzibur violates, and it's a badge of honor, and that's why we're allowed to mention it. You know what that aveira is? V'nishmartem miyod l'nafshoy seichem. The Rambam says that you cannot serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly if you're in a debilitated state. So you have to watch what you eat, and you have to get your sleep, and on and on and on. A genuine oisik b'tzorchei tzibur does not have a minute to rest. He doesn't think about himself at all. Not just because he's such a tzaddik, but because there's not even time to think about yourself. If somebody's oisik in pidyon shvuyim, somebody's oisik in abotzas Torah, somebody's oisik in keeping up a yeshiva, how is he ever going to have time to breathe? So he's mitzamtim himself more and more and more until there's nothing left. And if that's the case, he's doing something wrong. Be'etzim, he's doing something wrong. But it's almost like an aveira lishma idea. So that's why the seder is the way it is. Because since his aveira is not watching his health, so we say v'yirpa l'chol gufam v'yislach l'chol lavonam. V'yirpa l'chol gufam is first, of course, because we want him to be well. And then we say, but why didn't he take care of himself? So that's not right. V'yislach l'chol lavonam. I had recently a merid gezach. It's just the way people are. Somebody calls me up and he says that I saw you the other day and you look terrible. And he says, I just want to tell you that you better slow down. And then he talked to me about one of his inyonim for half an hour. It was gewaldic. Probably gewaldic. I remember once I had a meiser. There was a fellow that came. He wasn't beseder, that's for sure. I mean, that was one of the reasons he had so many problems. I mean, he needed medicine. He needed medication. That's what he needed. But anyway, he comes to me, and it was a very big ebb at that moment. I mean, my biology was fighting me tooth and nail. I was exhausted beyond exhaustion, and I couldn't even stand on my feet. So I tell him, I'd love to talk to you, but I can't even stand on my feet. I feel like I'm about to pass out. He says, just a couple of minutes. I said, go on the chat. There's that type also. But the fact is that the Rosh Yeshiva had a Parkinson's that was mamish. Everybody knows. He couldn't control the movements of kemat any aver in his body. And it was going on for years and getting worse and worse. That such a person should travel. So the stewardess says, how dare you take him to America? How dare you? She has kindness to the Unterführer. You know, how dare you take him to America? And I said, dare you? He insists on it. We're not telling him to come to America. He's demanding it. So this is unbelievable. So what's the v'yirpa l'chol gufam v'yisla l'chol avon? So there's a medrash. Rebbe was oisik b'tzorchei tzibur. It's on a posuk in Kehelas. Mesuka shnas ha'oived. And it ends, v'hasova le'oshir einenu maniach loy lishayin. Very interesting. So the Medrash says that there's a maisa like this. Rebbe Havaka Osik B'tzorchei Tzibur. And he asked his servant, Rebbe was a wealthy man, he had servants. He asked his servant to bring him a cup of water. It was so busy that the servant was just standing there. Ada hochi v'hochi kominam nim avda. And the Eved sees there's nothing for him to do, so he fell asleep. The Rebbe turns around, he sees that he's slumbering. He said on this pasuk, Misuka shnas ha'oved. And about himself he says, v'hasava le'oshir einenu maniach lo'elisha. So if it was saying that he was busy with his business activities, we know that Chazal tell us that he wasn't nana even a mashu from this world. So we would say, okay, that's what it means. He's worried, you know, a person who has no money is never worried about the stock market. Not worried about the stock market. The stock market doesn't keep him awake. The change in this hour, that hour, up and down, means nothing to him. But the rich person, he's very busy with this. And sometimes he could have a nervous breakdown watching the roller coaster. So hasava la'ashir einenu maniach lishon. But it doesn't say that. It says Revi have a ka'osik b'tzorchei tzibur. So I touched this very poshut. There's never a time to take a break, because there's never a possibility that any human being, no matter how capable and no matter how focused and no matter how devoted, is ever yoytzi deichai v'asai with a tzibur. And I might add, it doesn't matter that the tzibur doesn't have to be 6,000. It could be 600. It could even be 60. Each person is a world. Each family has their needs. And everybody says, what can you do for me? And if they don't say it, their eyes plead it. They need to have someone caring for them. So once a person takes upon himself that responsibility, there's never any rest. And that's what Rebbe meant. V'asova la'oshir einenu maniach lo'elishay. So that's what this medrash is saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the person, either you'll conquer or I'll conquer you. What does it mean? Natzachti oischa. Why? Am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani v'ata oimdim b'zeira, oi natzachti. Noikashta b'imrei picha, ein imrei elohara as taira. So now I'm going to go to the next step. There's a very famous chazal. Chazal say on the pasuk, ki rabim chalolim hipila, v'atzumim kol harugel. Rabim chalolim hipila. What does it mean? That it made many karbonis. Rabim chalolim, what's a cholol? A corpse. It felled many people and made them into corpses. V'atzumim kol harugel, and in multitudes, a huge number that it killed, that it put to death. Atzumim kol harugel. What is that talking about? So Chazal say that it's talking about two categories. It's almost like the film The Goyim does. He splits the two up, even though they're almost repetitious. It's not kefil or inyan, it's two different types. What is it? One of them is a Talmid shaloi higia lahira umayre. He's not capable, and he paskins anyhow. And the other one is Talmid shehigia lahira ve'eino umayre. And from the Rambam would be mashma that one leads to the other. Because if the right people would step in, then the wrong people would not get involved. But if there's a dearth and there's an open space, so the wrong people push themselves in, and then they paskin and they teach, and they don't know what they're talking about. So Rabim Chalolim Hipila V'Atzumim Kol Harugera. Grab a very beautiful Vilna Goyin. The Vilna Goyin says, as you know, that there's a Tam Elyon and a Tam Tachton in the Aseres HaDibros. Whether you read it as Psukim or you read it as Dibros. Legabi Loy Sirtzach, there's a difference that if it's a Dibra, then Loy Sirtzach, and it's Loy Sirtzach. Is it with a Sof or a Tav? It's with a Tav. Tirtzach. Why? Because the Lo is a Tipcha. And therefore it separates the Aleph, and when it's not connected, it's a Tav. However, in the Pasuk, it says, Loi Sirtzach, Loi Sinop, Loi Signaf. Loi Sirtzach is one phrase, so the Aleph and the Sof makes it Sof, soft. And there's a Patach, because it's not the end. And when it's not the end, it's with a Patach. But meanwhile, without getting into the grammar of it, sometimes it's with a Patach, and sometimes with a comments. If you look at it as a dibra, it's with the comments. If you look at it as a pasuk, as part of a pasuk, it's a patach. Zok de goyim. There's two kinds of ritzicha mentioned in this pasuk. One kind of ritzicha is a patach ritzicha. You open up your mouth when you're not supposed to. That's the Talmud shaloi higi aloi ra umayre. The other kind of ritzicha is with the comments. You're metamtzem. You hold back. Kmitza. That's the person who was magia loira, but he's not Meira, and he should have been. So the guy says there's two ritzichas, that's this pasuk. It's beautiful. Anyhow, the kitzah, the pshat is like this. What prompts a person to get involved is not his altruistic sensibilities, which he doesn't realize that he's not yet on the madrega, but he's such a fine person that in the void, he decides, b'mokim she'ein ish, hishtadol liyos ish. It's not like that. The people who get involved because they don't know, because they are benefiting in their ego from being in a position of prominence. And they are hoping that they'll never be found out. That's the bottom line. So very often somebody reaches a level of prominence, and that's it. And who's going to go give him bechinas? And he avoids assiduously matzavim or situations or people. There was once a ma'aseh with a chassidish rebbe. It's a mistama misnagdisha story, this story. But there was once a ma'aseh with a chassidish rebbe that he was not ever saying a dvar Torah. Nothing. Not by a shalashudas, not by a simcha, never. So one of his chassidim said to him, Rebbe, you know, they're going to start thinking that you don't know. He says, it's much better than knowing that I don't know. So there are etzes and tachbulas. Some people avoid, you know, assiduously. They'll speak to always people less than them, but they'll never speak to anybody bigger than them. It comes to writing a shtickle Torah, they'll plagiarize, they'll steal. Or like the person once wrote, I remember, I think it was Rabbi Hirschler, anyhow, somebody once told me that I don't think it's true, I think it was just making it up, as a mushal. He's saying that a person wrote a shtickle Torah in the Torah journal. Maybe it was an editor of that journal, I'm not sure, but another godel. Anyhow, he says, this is what he writes. He says, first he quotes the Gemara, the entire piece of Gemara with the whole Rashi for two pages. Gemara Rashi. Then he quotes the Rambam for another two pages. And then he says, the Yesh Lodun Bazev Ein Kan Mokum Laharichot. And that's a Shtikl Torah. So, you know, there are plenty of Shtikl Torah that border on that absurdity. Not quite, but they border on it, just to say. So what am I saying? And also, go know and read and look. Say, so he sticks a shtickl Torah in somewhere, but he really is not. He's mamish not. And there are people like that. And they give a bad rep to everybody else who is. But the fact of the matter is that what's pushing them? What's motivating these people? So sometimes it happens that it's almost an accident. Somebody is willing to be on a certain level, and something propels him to prominence almost bal karko, and now he's stuck. Because to admit that you don't know, that's an unbelievable darga. It's not the same as somebody goes over, do you know where the mucker of this is? And he says, I don't know. So he doesn't know. But here he's saying, I'm not the person you think I am. Ironically, that's what Gedolim always used to go around saying, that I'm not the person you think I am. Like, oh, you know, you're giving me so much cover, it's not shaykh that I should be deserving of anything. That's one of the simonim of a gadol. But that same person put out a sefer that all the Gedolim are Isaac and Yom of Alayla, or they have the biggest yeshiva, they produce the biggest talmidim. So you know that they're a gadol, they're the gdolei hador. But the humility that comes with it makes them say that they're off of a efer, or of anachnu ma. But there are certain people that are talking nothing, almost. But somehow they got stuck, because they got into a position of prominence, like almost b'makom shein ish, and now they don't know what to do. But to admit is very difficult. And then there are the people that just one big piece of gaiva, and that gaiva propels them on and on when there is no havamina, that they deserve a mashahu of the prominence that they have. Because they just don't have the caliph. They don't have the caliph. They don't have the knowledge. They don't have the capacity. And they also don't have the concern. Because when somebody, and that's what this medrash is talking about, when somebody's in it for himself, he really doesn't care if he paskins wrong. So he can make a churban mamish, he can destroy a shalom bayis, he can prevent the child from being born into the world. Person brings a bedika, and he doesn't know from left to right, but he's paskining bedikas. So he looks at the bedika cloth, and he says, one second, I have to look up into the light. Looks up into the light, he looks at the bedika cloth, he doesn't know what he's looking for. He looks up, and he tells the person, I have to think about this for 2 seconds. He thinks about it for 2 seconds, he says, it's no good. The same person brings it to a Talmud Chacham, to somebody who's a mumcha. He says, what's the problem? There's nothing there. It's the wrong color. It's perfectly fine. That person said it's no good. She can't go to the mikveh. She can't go to the mikveh. Maybe there's no baby. I mean, it's unbelievable. But that's just one of a thousand things. Shabbos, Hilchos Shabbos. Person doesn't know how to say, I don't know. Because he's expected to know. You know, there's a maaseh that there were rabbonim that were sent away from their shtelis because they said they didn't know. Because the beta's rabbonim are balabatim, oyvei. Aber lemaisa, if there's a person that doesn't know, how could he say anything? How could he paskin? So a person could be encouraging somebody to be mechallel Shabbos. Doch nervoy. And if it's permissible to do, you have no right to say it's awesome. I'll play the safe road. Everything is awesome. That way, I don't get anybody into trouble. So first of all, in Hilchos Nida, I just gave you an example where it's not possible to do that and get away with it. But in everything, you have no right to be mitzamtzem a person from doing something that he wants to do or that he could do because you're ignorant. So the bottom line of the whole thing is that it's exactly this nekuda. That's where we left off. And if you're stuck, there's no such thing. Write the telephone number on the back of the smicha and ask your Rebbe. That's what it says. You can't allow yourself that if you're oyla l'gdula and you're trapped, that you should be able to outmaneuver the matzav. Because that is exactly the etzah of Mishlei, leich hisrapes. Go and immerse yourself in the afara gleim shel talmidei chachamim. Urahav reyecha, make the other person your melech. Ve'ein rahav el malchus, and he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. Vim lav, dom cha berosh cha katzvi v'cha ayol, and that's the pasuk at the end, the fifth pasuk, hinotzel katzvi miyad. Rabbonin Amrin, now is a new shtickle, and this is very, very beautiful, and that's the spasemis that comes after it. Rabbonin Amrin, there's another pshat on this pasuk. V'ni, imaravta l'reyecha elu Yisrael, Shehena Raven Beinon Levein HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Notice, it doesn't say a Raven Zelazet. Beinon Levein HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chavivim Yisrael Shenikroim Reim Shenema Leman Achai V'Reyai. Very interesting. I just want to tell you something that we ought to know. This should be in our arsenal of Torah in Hashkafa. You remember there's a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos that speaks about how Hillel was always welcoming and he never got flustered. And once a person comes and says, I'll be Mizgayer on the condition that you teach me Kol HaTorah Kula Al Regel Achas. So Shammai of course sent them packing, but Hillel said, V'hafta l'reacha kamoicha, Manda aloch soni lechavroch loy savid, what is hateful to you, don't do to somebody else. And that is the ikar of the Torah, and the rest we'll learn. Rashi asks, in a sense, what does this vahapta l'racha kamocha entail that it's the ikar of the Torah? So he has two pshatim. And interestingly enough, his second pshat, not his primary pshat, is what we would expect. That a huge number of halachas are bein adam l'chaveiro, right? And the umbrella that covers and arches and hovers over all of those halachas is v'ahavta l'reacha kamoch. I would go maybe a step further and say, just like derech eretz kodma l'torah, the whole of Yiddishkeit is to make a mensch out of you also, and to keep you a mensch. So in the end, v'ahavta l'reacha kamoch serves as that critical nekuda. Also, as I mentioned, b'negei Avram Avinu and Lot many times, believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot stop there. It's got to be consequential. And the things that you do for Hashem are not as consequential as when it hurts you in your pocket and it hurts you in your midas. So how you deal with other people proves how much you really believe in Hashem. That's the truth. And it's a truth that is unfortunately very much lost on a lot of our population. But the fact is that V'ahavta le'echa kamocha, according to the second pshat in Rashi, is pshuta k'mashmai. It's the mitzvah and the chiyuv to care about another Jew. What is the first pshat of Rashi? The first pshat of Rashi is V'ahavta le'echa is loving Hashem. Hashem is my good buddy. No, you're v'ayin. How can you even say such a thing? And he quotes a pasuk. Hashem is your Reya. There's a very beautiful Orach Chaim HaKadosh in Dvarim somewhere where he discusses the different madregas, benageya, the pasuk of Pasayach Tiftach Esyot Chalachich Laniyach, and those psukim. He discusses the different dargas in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what you can consider HaKadosh Baruch Hu as yours. And in this particular pasuk, V'ahavta l'reyacha kamaycha, we're talking about the Ribbono Shel'olam and Klal Yisrael. That's Rashi's main pshat in that Gemara. This is this Medrash. The Medrash says, Chavivim Yisrael shenikru reyim shenema lamana chai v'reyai umahoy sa'arvusam ela b'shoa shakadosh baruch hu bo liten es ha-toyra lo'kiblua achas mino umos ela Yisrael Moshe l'melech shoye lo'y sode. He had a field and he wanted to have workers on the field. It's too hard for me. I can't handle that field. It's too much. Leave me alone. What do you mean? I'm giving you the field. I'm not giving you the field. I want you to work the field. Once he went into it, he left it fallow. In other words, he didn't do anything. On whom is the melech going to be makpid more? On those people who didn't accept it altogether, but at least they were honest, so to speak, I'm not going to do the job. Or on the person who says, I'm going to do the job, and in the end doesn't do a stitch of work. Al mi makpid, al oisim shamer enen yuchol mekabla, O Almi Shekibla Olav, Umi Shekibla Olav, Niknas Bava Hivira, Loyal Ze Shekibla, Kach, Keshenigla, Kodesh Bokal Hasina, Ilo Yinich Umash, Lo Yitik Alela. Yitik means he was negative about it, Velo Kibla Aleim Lishamra. Shabbat, Eitzel Yisrael, Umru, Kail Ashadiba Hashem Nasib and Ishma, Lakach Bedinu Shatishmu, Have a Shimudva Hashem Beis Yaakov Vim Lav Te Onshu Ba'arvus Havi Bini Imar Arafto L'Reyacha. You accepted the responsibility. Arev means responsible person. If a person lends money to Chaim Yankel and he doesn't trust that Chaim Yankel will be able to pay him back, who are your co-signers? So Chaim Yankel finds a friend and the friend says, if he doesn't pay, I'll pay. I'm taking responsibility. Now he comes to the Arev and says, I don't mean it. Or I don't have any money. Or I really don't want to give you any money. What are you talking about? The only reason I gave the loan was because of you. The same thing here. Who's your Reya? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you became an Arev to that Reya. And you said you're going to receive the Torah and accept the Torah and keep the Torah. Nasa v'nishma. Kol asher dibra Hashem nasa. And now? So that's what he says. That's what he says. I just wanted to be meisif over here, benayeah this nakuda. Mishakibla lov nichnas bava yivira, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be more angry. You have a lot of times that emphasis of who you are makes it worse. So lemaisa, why don't we say, but at least they were willing, but the Yetzirah got the best of them. It doesn't work like that in Arvus. That's the point that I want to make. You see. There's a difference between a volunteer and a responsible person. And that's exactly the maisa with Yehuda, that he was Orev on Binyamin. Arvus means that you put yourself on the line in a manner that allows something to happen that never would have happened otherwise. So the Malachim already screaming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you doing giving them the Torah? So when they say Nasa v'nishma, It's not merely a statement. It's not a willingness. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't work. It's a daita d'ochi that the whole of the Torah was brought down to earth. And memela, the responsibility is infinite and very profound. And if they fail, the taina isn't on that particular chait, as it were. It's on the whole agenda of bringing the Torah down to earth. And that's where Arvus comes into the picture. Take a look in the Sfasemus. The Medrash B'ni Imarafta. He's referring the beginning of Parshas Yisrael, but he's referring to the Medrash that we just learned. Zochu B'nei Yisrael Lius Nikroim Bonim Al Yedei Sheichnisu Atzman Ba'Arvus L'Taking Kol HaBriya But Omram Kol Asher Dibra Hashem Nasa. You hear what the Sfasemus is saying? It's what I just told you. This isn't your typical agreement. There's only one field, and there's only one farmer. And if the farmer does not tend to the field as he agreed to, the field remains barren. The world is that field. The cosmos is that field. And if Klal Yisrael does not keep to the Arvus, the whole agenda is destroyed. And that's what he says here. L'takein kol habriya, when they said, kol asher dibra Hashem nase, ube'emes, b'koyach klolus Yisrael lasos hakol, v'zeh she'omar v'yanu kol ha'om yachdov. He says, each yachid in Klal Yisrael, each individual person may not have that koyach. But in the collective, Klal Yisrael have that koyach, which stems from their arvus, that they are able to be mekayim every aspect of the world, of the universe. Right? And that's what it says. Only Klal Yisrael can achieve that level. And that's what he says. Let's skip a couple of lines over here. That's L'Reacha, the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Imarafta L'Reacha, the only way that this can work, what is the Sfasem is being Moisif? He says that no individual can accept that kind of arvus for the cosmos. But Klal Yisrael, the Chlolusam, has that Kayach, that they can generate to sustain the entire universe. And that's their responsibility to do. And that's why everything in Matan Torah is Beloshen Yochid, Ki Ish Echad, Belev Echad. V'hinei Siyum HaPosuk V'HaMedrash Tokato L'Zor Kapecho Leichis Rapes L'Voyer HaInyon. What the Sfasemis wants now to do is to extend the words of the Medrash Imarafta, that this is the arvus of whom to whom? Of Bnei Yisrael, to their Reya, who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the very responsibility of the existence of the world. For the existence of the world. So he wants to know, how then do you explain the rest of the Pasuk and the flow of the Pesukim in Mishle? So he says as follows. He says, "Levayra inyan ki be'emes kol avodas bnei Yisrael shluchei hamokum baruchu l'takein ulahalois kol abriya." The avoda of Klal Yisrael is to fix the world. Ki atzmus bnei Yisrael mitzidam heim kodmu l'chol abriya v'heim nishmas eloiki bilvad. So he says, because if you don't look at the individual, but you look at Klal Yisrael, Bishvil Yisrael Shenekroim Reishis, and they are, as it were, the neshama of the world. Rak nichnasu ba'arvus hanal. Val yedei zeh, hagam sheim acharkach l'michsholim, betuchim heim ki yiyya nigmar be'ezim smishvoach ha'koil al yedeihem. Va'acha ha'chei, toysifu b'tshuva l'takin ul'halis nitzaytze kedusha oid yoysa mimekoidem. Kasher chachom imigidu, he says, even when, now again, we're not talking about the individual, but when Klal Yisrael ends up sinning, since they are the neshama of the world, so there must be a good that comes out of that Avera. The remarkable Chassidish Mahalach over here, that the good is that they bring tshuva into the world. And he quotes a Chazal that says so. Right? Bechinas hadibrois v'hatayra koydem achet.
That's Uzi, my strength.
Umo Uzi, my fortress. Acha hachet. Shetztarchu ezer Hashem yizborach lachzirum el hatayra. Right? Kinyan shekasavnu b'mokam acher ato neiri v'ato toyer neiri.
He points out that a similar thing is the difference between ner and toyer ner. What is ner? Something you light yourself. What's toyer neiri? The pasuk that is in Shiras David, Ki atot toyer neiri, Hashem Eloika yagia choshki, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs, you need HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to help you. When does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need to help you? When can you do it alone?
Koydem achet,
la'acha achet. Uzi, koydem achet. Mo uzi, la'acha achet.
Because you need Hashem. Val yedei zeh eilecho goyim yavoyu. Shenemar vayishma Yisrael.
So what he says here is a very remarkable thing. It's, and we have to digest it. He says as follows. Klal Yisrael is an entity, and there's a ger that shows up at their doorstep. What is his name? Yisrael. When Yisrael came is a whole shaila. Koydem Matan Torah, as the sequence would be mashma from the psukim in Yisrael, or Lacha Matan Torah. His perspective here is that he came afterwards. He came after the Nasa B'Nishma. He came after Chet HaEgel. The Chet HaEgel was Moisif HaKadosh Baruch Hu Siyaita to get them back on track. The Koyach of that Siyaita was Moshech, a stranger, to come to Klal Yisrael. That's what he says. Uzi is before the chet. Mo'uzi acha chet. Shetztarchu ezer Hashem yizbarach lachzirum el ha-toyra. Val yedei zeh eilecho goyim yavoyu. That's the end of the pasuk. Hashem uzi mo'uzi. Shoma Yisroi. V'inyin Yisroi hu iskarvus tanitzoy se kedusha sho yanimsa ba'umais. Because in the umais, like in every dover doimim, there's nitzoytzeis, and you're malad the nitzoytzeis when you make a bracha. So too the Umas Ha'olam have Nitzaitis Shal Kedusha, which when the Ger comes, he's maled the Nitzaitis from the Umma that he's coming from. So when Yisroi comes, he brings out the Nitzaitis that are in the Umas in Midyan. K'mosh Amru Chazal, and Chazal say, if that's the case, who is a proper candidate for that Gerus, if he's going to be maled Nitzaitis? So the one who's maled the most Nitzaitis is the biggest Moshchos, who changes with Toiva. So Chazal make an emphasis that Yisrael happens to be Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law. You'd expect that they would keep it under hidden wraps. They say, no, lahiniach avodah zorah shelo yavda. That Yisrael's hashchosa in avodah zorah was complete. And that's why when he came, la'acha, to follow B'nai Yisrael, it is a tremendous aliyas nitzaitzes. Val yedezen niskarvu kol ha-koichas shohoyo me'urav ba'umais. V'nikra Yisroi, ki ha'ikar heim b'nei Yisroi. He says the name Yisroi indicates that this is extra, yoiser. He's a Yisroi because the ikar is always in Klal Yisroel, and he comes to add the halos nitzaitzes from the umais ha'olam, and he comes from that lowest madrega to reach out to B'nai Yisrael, and with that he's malad the nitzaitzeis, and adds to the madregas of Klal Yisrael, which they themselves alone cannot accomplish. But all of that would not have happened were it not for the Chet HaEgel. That's what he's employing. It's a remarkable thing. Rakshu Mailo Yisera Shekirvu B'nai Yisrael Gam Koiches HaRishoyim Lochein Hikdim Maisa Yisrael LeKabolas HaTaira. So what about the fact that it's before Kabbalah Satayra? Shaloi litin pischem pelu umois. Shal yedei shenivdulu b'nei Yisrael nisracha kuhein. Rak adarabba al yedei yiskarvus v'sroimim was b'nei Yisrael he'iru meirochoi gam lo umois sheyuchlu lalois u'liskarv al yedeim tachas kafi hashchina.
So before he gets the next line to talk about when he came, Kodem Matan Torah, Acher Matan Torah, is very interesting. The whole flow until now is mashma that he came even after Chet HaEgel. Because it's saying that the koyach that Chet HaEgel produced of tshuva, where they need the Kodesh Baruch Hu Siyaita, produces an even bigger koyach that like a magnet, pulls Yisrael towards them. And what is Yisrael accomplishing? That the koyach of Klal Yisrael is enhanced to be able to be mashpi on the umais, because he's now malad the nitzaitzis of the umais ha'olam. So there's an even greater hashpah in the world than the hashpah of Klal Yisrael alone. So he says, and why is the story brought beforehand? So it's mashma that he means mashmur shomol ba, and it doesn't mention matan Torah and chayta egel and whatever. It says Muhammad Amalek and Kriyas Yamsuf. So it's mashma that he came from those shmuas. So he says, why? Because we shouldn't think that Klal Yisrael is something that is contrary to the Umas Ha'olam. Different. But Adarabba, that what Klal Yisrael accomplished is that now they are the magnet to pull people upwards from lower matzavim. So in fact, Bnei Yisrael, like Chazal say, that if the Goyim understood the benefit of the Beis HaMikdash for them, they never would have destroyed it. It's a similar idea. But now he says, so what's going to be? And here he says something unbelievable. He says there are two Yisrais, in quotation marks. He writes, V'yesh machloikis a Yisrai ba kaidem matan Torah o yacha matan Torah. So what does a machloikis normally mean? That it's either this or that. Right? I mean, how can Yisro come both kaidem and acha? The tocha in shakoy lemes. He says they're both right. Yesh Yisrai kaidem matan Torah. V'yesh Yisrai acha matan Torah. Shall yedei cheta egel, right? Minisalu b'tshuva, chazru shenis lahalois me'umis oidyoitzen itzaitze kedusha kanal. V'chol ze nichlal b'shem Yisrael. So he says that Yisrael is a concept. That's what he says. And now he looks at it like this. There was a Klal Yisrael that was taken out of Mitzrayim. That koyach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected them and already gave them some mitzvahs and made them their ama nivchar. And even before Matan Torah, Atem Tiyulim Amlechas Koinim V'Goy Kadosh. So there's a Yisroi concept, Koidem Matan Torah, says the Sfasemes. That there's a Hamshacha to the Goyim, who realize that there's something there that if they attach themselves to and acknowledge, then they are schlepped along. They're schlepped along in that current. But as much as that is true, there's an even greater current, almost like an electric current, Etech HaEgel. Because now they have the siyata d'shmaya that is associated with their koyach ha-tshuva. And in fact, that is the essence of tshuva. That whatever is good comes out and conquers the evil in a person, and the same thing is true in the world. So the nitzaitzis that are when it's aleh, before Matan Torah, in the hiskarbus of Yisrael, of that yeser on top of Bnei Yisrael, above and beyond, is multiplied many times over, because now that the koyach ha-tshuva is being produced, then it has a hashpah to be a magnet to bring the world in the worst possible matzavim closer to Hashem. So he says, there's another Yisrael after Chet HaEgel. And that's what he writes. Chazru sheinis lahalois me'umais adyoisen itzaitze kedusha v'chol ze nichlal b'shem Yisrael. Ki ein ze ikar ha-mechuvan. Because it all starts with Klal Yisrael, and these are extras. These are additional benefits to the world. Al pi medrash brachos v'aretz ha'sasoyu maseim shel rishoyim or maseim shel tzadikim b'mi chafetz. So who does he want? Vayar lekim es ha'ar kitov. Of course he wants that. Ha'inyan kanal ki bevadai dova gadol hu lahalos maseim shel rishoyim kasher chachomim yigidu kishem shekilusa yisbarach oylem b'pi ha'tzadikim b'gan eden kach kilusa oylem rishoyim b'gehenem. Mikoshkein misha mezake lechayova in this world. So meanwhile, he threw in a whole parsha over here in the last three lines, which doesn't just apply to Umas Ha'olam Lagabi Yisrael, but applies to Baalei Tshuva Lagabi Tzadikim Gemurim. He says, as much as I've said about the his alus that Tshuva brings and the kayach of taking him out of the Tumah, and that spreads even to the Ummah Ha'ilam, don't forget that Yisra is Yeser. It's not the Iker. And it's only because of the Iker that Yisra can be Yisra. And that's what he says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw Chayshach and he saw Ur. Chayshach has Kaychas, but Ur is Kitayf. That's how he ends the Shtikl. But just to summarize very quickly what he says, and then we'll continue next time with the Gra himself on these psukim and his concept of arvus, which is comparable to the words of this medrash at the beginning, that it refers to the Talmid Chachamim, to the Manhigim. But what does this Fasemis basically come down to? He says that in all of our discussion of Kabbalah HaTorah and the election of Klal Yisrael to be unique in their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which relationship is called Reya, there is an Arvus idea that hovers above and behind it, and it's critical to realize, because without that understanding, we don't understand. It all goes back to the Nefesh HaChaim's idea that we have inordinate power, and we don't even realize the power that we have to make successful the world or to make Charev the world in all of its cosmic manifestations, in all the Olamos, the human being. So we'd say, what's the human being? It's just another creature. So now all the scientists keep hammering away in every possible way that we're just another animal. Never mind our sophistication, never mind our capacity, never mind our minds. And all of Yiddishkeit Mamish constantly says the opposite. But this is the opposite to an extreme. You know, just like, you know, what's the center of the world? So Klal Yisrael is now the center of the universe. So the idea that the human being accords to himself that, so they all tell you that's the biggest gaib and the biggest shtus. You're just another animal on the chain of evolution. So Chazal come to tell us, and this is what this medrash is saying according to this Fasemis, that when Klal Yisrael is entitled to the level of Reya, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's only because they have accepted the Arvus that comes with it. And that Arvus was the essential element which we call Matan Torah. That Klal Yisrael, when they said Ma'aseh V'Nishma, are now saying there's a field, and many people said we can't do it, it's too much for us. It says Leisirtzach, Leisinach, Leisignach, we don't want to have anything to do with it. And here comes the people and they say, no, we can handle it and we will do it. And then you don't do it. And then you don't do it. So who's the Melech going to be angry about? Who's the Baal HaSod going to be angry about? The Oris that said, I can't handle it and left? Or the person that you gave over the keys to this entire enterprise, and then he sits idly and he fails you? So that's the Arvus for the cosmos. That's what he's saying over here. The field is the existence itself. So when a person is a Yochid, continues this Fasemis, he's not able to be piled at. The Arvus is an Arvus of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he's being Mechadish. Needless to say, every person is a Chelek of that Klal Yisrael, and the Mela has his own personal Arvus. But he says that when they made the Chet HaEgel, it was a universal and cosmic catastrophe. Because when they came, it was Ki'ish Echad B'Lev Echad, and that was the Oivdei Avodah Zarah. It doesn't matter that a big Chelek of Klal Yisrael, the women didn't worship the Chet HaEgel, and the Levian did not worship the ego. It doesn't matter. It became a Klal Yisrael at Maimir HaSinai catastrophe. But what did that catastrophe breed? And this is very much in the line of Hasidic thinking in general, that even the worst matzavim can sometimes actually produce positive consequences, which memela means there's always hope. It's a very Hasidic idea, which you find in many, many Sfarim. It's never too late and there's always hope, and you'll find that in the worst environment, you know, in a love and an upsoil, you can have a rivka. So my Rebbetzin asks me, yesterday we were talking about the parsha, and you know, I never enjoy talking with her about these things, because she asks questions, I never can answer any of her questions. So the question is, where is Rivka growing up in such an environment becomes a Rivka? I don't know. I really don't know. Never mind how old she was. Some say she was 3, some say she was 11 or 14 or whatever it is. Makes no difference how old she was. But where is she coming from? And there's such an unbelievable emphasis, Echad HaYavram. And then she asks me, like, you know, that's already hitting below the belt. And what about Sarah? Like, where is she coming from? And how does he end up with Sarah? Sarah Megayera says, Anoshim. She got this from Avram? I said, maybe. So then why did he marry her? I mean, you can't answer these questions. There's not enough information in Chazal. Chazal is not, so I tell her, Chazal is not a biography. What are you asking me these questions for? And then she starts to think, you know, when does a person get aggressive when he doesn't have Terutzim? If I had Terutzim, I wouldn't be aggressive. I wouldn't get nasty. Anyhow, Bekitzer, this is a tremendous shaila. Where did Rivka come from? But the Hasidic perspective is that Rivka can come out of, you know, like the grass out of the concrete, you know. It pushes its way, so everyone knows it's not going to push through the concrete itself, but it'll find a crack somewhere. And some say it was the Menekes Rivka. That's why she was such an Asik, that when she died, there was a whole Alon Bochus. Yaakov stops everything. He honors Menekes Rivka. What's that all about? She was the Mashpia. Where did she come from? The Kashis, the Chazal, always leave you with an understanding that they're not writing a biography. And the Mela, there are going to be questions galore. You can't go beyond what they gave you. But the fact is that Rivka comes out from such a massive. The fact is. And you got to go to Lavan. You can't go to Benos HaKnani. Knani was worse. How could you be worse than Lavan? He doesn't have one redeeming quality. So tell it to Gazach. And then Yaakov goes back to the daughters of Lavan. No, Rivoy. El Artzi Bel Mishpachti Tech. Whatever it is, Chassidus felt that there's something there that needs to be brought out into the open. So that's why by a yard site, Metrinkt al Chayim, there's a Maisa, that's already a Chassidus story. That a Chassid and a Misnagid were both sitting there, and the Misnagid sees how he's drinking L'chaim by his yard site, and he's fasting. Misnagdim fast, as Eshtait in Shulchanot. So he says, what are you doing? He says, what do you mean, what am I doing? Well, don't you know that when you make a bracha, you take the gashmius and you make from it ruchnius. You mal it in the tzaitzis. So he says, yeah. So why don't you make a bracha? Why are you drinking schnapps? Why don't you make a bracha on a glass of water? So he says, fool that you are. The chassid says to the misnagin. He says, if I drink water, only the Eibishter is happy. If I drink schnapps, I'm happy too. This is a very much as a chassidish mahalach in life. But to be malah the world, if the Chet HaEgel is a plus, Sfasema says, yes, it's a plus. Hashem Uzi, Umo Uzi. Mo Uzi is more than Uzi. And how does the plus prove itself? Eilecha Goyim Yavo. Eilecha Goyim Yavo. And in the parentheses, Ki Ato Hashem Toir Neri. Right? So we say Hashem is Neri, Hashem is Ori, Hashem Toir Neri. Because you see, you need the Ha'ara to come from Hashem. When is that? When do you need that Siaita? When we fail. So the whole Inyan of Tshuva actually ends up not in a corruption, but if the Tshuva in a plus, that it creates a koach in the world to be malad and it cites us beyond the Tshuva of those particular individuals, or of Klal Yisrael in this case, to bring in as a magnet others. And then he concludes, but nevertheless, it's always yes, sir. Because the Iker is always Klal Yisrael. And the fascinating thing about his explanation, it's a chidush gadol to be able to have that perspective, even if it's in Machshava. But he's not saying that Yisrael came twice. What he's saying is that the concept of Yisrael exists Koidem and La'acha.
Yes.
Because there are really two Yisraels. There are two Yisraels. And that's why, when you have two Yisra'is, you can have a Yisra'i that is attracted by Mashmur Shoma Oba Mechemes HaMoli. There's still a manifestation of Klal Yisrael in relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it becomes even more so. Dafka after Chet HaEgel, when the Shmur Shoma suddenly turns into a tremendous aura of being Meshach the world, which is Mala, the negatives, and takes the Nitzaitis HaKadosha out of them, which existed in those Umas Ha'olam up to that point. Buried in the negatives, it pulls out the positives, and the Mela has, again, a more positive cosmic effect on the world. All the time, guaranteeing that the ikar remains not the yeser part, but that's miskarev to the magnet, but the magnet itself.